If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 4 as we go through the book of Acts chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive, listen to this, the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. If you are a true born-again Christian, you love the truth. You want the truth of God's word. You're a student of God's scriptures. You love and want to know the truth. You know, I mentioned many times, hopefully this will be the last time, I went to seminary school. I didn't have a calling to be a pastor. I went to school to learn because I wanted to know if what that preacher was saying from that pulpit was true. And I pray that you do the same thing as well. There was a group called the Bereans that we'll hear later on in the book of Acts, that after Paul spoke, he went back to look at the text to see if what he was saying was true. See, there's a lot of churches that have services this morning. Many of them will not bring the truth. They may bring a flowery message of hope, but not hope in Jesus Christ, not a surrendered life. In fact, if we're talking about sins and changes in our life, that's not a turn on, right? People don't want to hear that. Make me feel good when I come to church. But listen, the Spirit of God will make you secure and feel good to know that your sins are forgiven and that your destination is sure through Christ Jesus. And so we want to know the truth. Calvary Chapel Ministries, simply teaching the Bible, simply. And so many don't want to hear the truth. You know, you've heard me use the illustration. A lady wakes up her husband, honey, you got to go to work today. And he says, no, honey, I can't move. I'm dead. And she says, what do you mean you're dead? Get up. The alarm went off. You got to go to church. You got to go to work. He says, honey, I can't get up. I'm dead. She says, do dead men bleed? He says, certainly not. So she takes a needle and pricks his finger. Then he starts bleeding. And she says, what do you think of that? And he says, what do you know? Dead men still bleed. And so there are those who don't really care and want to hear about the truth. But it is the truth that sets us free from the law of sin and death. And so here, we have gone through the story, and this is important for us to know the truth, because those who were called to be the builders of the kingdom, the builders of God's people on earth, were those who were put in positions of authority in the temple. And yet they were there as thieves and robbers. They didn't want to hear the truth. In fact, we'll see what happens when the truth is presented to them. And so, in our story, there's a crippled man from birth, 40 years crippled. Every time people went into the temple, he was there collecting money, asking for alms. Everyone saw him. We spoke and asked the question, well, why didn't Jesus heal him? Jesus had to have passed this man when he went into the temple. And we talked in detail that Jesus didn't heal them because he was going to use Peter and John to, in his name, heal them at a later date. God had a plan and a purpose. And so they say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He asked for money. Silver and gold is not going to make you whole. And we know in Scripture that a physical ailment would be a picture of a spiritual truth. And so he's crippled, he's bound, he's an outcast from the people of God. Remember, if you were crippled and bound or had any infirmities, they believed that it was a curse from God. So he wasn't allowed to be among the people of God. And yet he finds himself year after year, Lord, do you know that I'm here? Do you know that I exist? Do you know the suffering that I go through? I can't walk, I can't work. And yet Jesus knew, Jesus had planned this specific time in his life, and Jesus is going to use this man's crippled condition to enable the gospel to go forward. Wow. And so he asked them, silver and gold, give me all. And they said, we don't have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And so just a review of the story, he gets up and he goes into the temple with them. And everybody's looking. The attention now is drawn to this man. They just passed him. He couldn't walk. Minutes later, look at him. And here's what he's doing. Listen, this is great. He is leaping and worshiping God. Wow. Why? Well, blessed is the man who knows that his sins are forgiven. And now he knows that Jesus is real, Jesus is true. In his name, he is now standing there walking. And this opens up the opportunity now, listen, for further ministry. Because they go into the temple and they begin to talk about what had happened. We'll pick it up in verse 5. And it came to pass the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and many were in the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked. Remember, they presented Jesus Christ. In his name, this man stands healed before you. Now, what did they do? You think they had a party? They arrest them. They put hands on them physically, and they drag them before the council, before the leaders, the rulers, the elders, and the scribes. By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for doing a good deed done to this man, by what means we have been made well, let it be known to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised him from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He's quoting here Psalm 118 for you note takers. For nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved. This man's crippled. God uses his condition and heals him to present. Now, listen, these guys are fishermen. They're fish, they smell. How many fishermen in here? You go for one weekend. Let's go to the pier on Saturday. The next day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're going to smell like fish. That oil gets on your skin, and it doesn't come off for a couple days. Well, this is their career. I'm sure their hair smelled like fish. Their dog probably smelled like fish. Everything that they owned had this scent. Who are these guys now standing in front of the council? The Pharisees were the legalists. The Sadducees were the liberals. They didn't believe in any supernatural anything. They believed in the physical, that everything is here right now. This is the earth and everything's going to go great. They didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. And now these guys, these uneducated men, because they're going to say this, now tell them that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and that there is no other name among heaven that men shall be saved. How did this happen? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means to be empowered. Not that they were saved by the Holy Spirit. We talk about being filled by the Holy Spirit. Being filled is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he fills us at various times, right? We all have been filled with the Spirit of God for salvation. But there's a time that he fills us and empowers us to do what? To be his witness. To stand before council and men. That they had no reason to be there other than God had opened up this door of opportunity for them to bring the word, the truth about Jesus Christ. You know, I've been blessed to do many invocations at different events. I did for the president in 2016 at the BBMT Center, and then yesterday at American Freedom Tour, I was able to bring the invocation. Now, it's one thing to have an invocation and they tell you what not to say. But when they don't tell you what to say? And how does that happen? Because like you, if I asked you to come up here now to speak, you'd be full of butterflies and you would feel inadequate and you want to run for the door, right? Well, I feel that way too, even when I come up here. But we overcome that, listen, by the being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so now, walking on the stage at the Broward Convention Center, hundreds, perhaps 1,000 people live on the internet, I have the opportunity to come up to invoke, to invite the Lord to this event. And we started really almost the same prayer that I said here. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have no equal. And I ended it by saying, we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here's what the flesh does. Oh, don't say that, because they won't invite you back. Every time I'm asked to do something, the flesh says that to me. Every time. It doesn't matter where or what. This wasn't a religious event. It was a political event. But I wasn't there to do any politics. I was there to bring as the representation to proclaim something, to invoke and ask God to bless this time together, but proclaim Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that God is sovereign. He has no equal. How does that happen? I'm no different than anyone in this room. It happens by the Holy Spirit empowering you. Now, you can resist the Holy Spirit. You could say, no, there's no way. But I know that if I would ever do that, I would never have any opportunity to do it again. Because when I, you know the story, I graduated seminary. I didn't have a calling to be a pastor. I said, Lord, if you ever want me to teach, have someone ask me. Because you can manipulate that. And 2 weeks later, you know the testimony? 2 weeks later, a pastor knocks on my door at the Nazarene church behind my house and says, hey, I'm going away. Will you fill in for me? That was an answered prayer to know that, hey, maybe the Lord's leading me along a certain way. And so I did that. And then God had called me to be a pastor, to be a teacher. And I had butterflies, insecurities. Who do you think you are? This is what Satan's telling me. And he's right. Who do I think I am? I am nothing apart from the Lord. And so as I believed and trusted in the Lord and accepted the call, I'm a messenger of the King, and so I have to testify to the truth. And this is what happens, listen, when we're filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. What is the picture of someone filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to see that as we go through the text. These men are under amazing scrutiny by the people who could take their lives. What do they look like? Just like Jesus, peace. Peace, grace, mercy. They're not taking up arms. They're not calling for their attorneys. They're not protesting people outside. They are, listen, they're submitting to what happens. We'll talk about that. So they're before the elders and the rulers. Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas. Remember Caiaphas? When Jesus overturns the tables and says, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. It should be a house of prayer. He was in charge. Jesus just cut him out, all the money he was making. And so they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They were part of him being crucified. But they go before this council, and Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter is filled of Christ's spirit in him, not himself. He doesn't show up, Dr. so-and-so, PhD Peter. In fact, he had none of that. Hooksetter Peter, right? Netmender Peter. How did he get there? God sent him. How was I able to stand at the PBMC theater, PBMT arena, with all of these people to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord? God sent me there. Nothing to do with me. But it's a picture of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because you may be, listen, intimidated by talking to your neighbor or a family member. Oh, they don't even want to hear it. That's okay. You're a messenger. Give the message. Now, they don't have to hear it every time they see you, because then they won't ever want to see you again. But you give them the message, and you've planted a seed, right? And maybe you can water it if the conversation comes up, or somebody else will water it. Only God can change the heart of man. You can do nothing. You can't trick people into the church and get saved, right? We're doing that with entertainment in the church, with lights and everything else, and smoke and people dancing. Listen, I don't want to even see the worship team. I just want to be led by them into the throne room of God. And I'm thankful that that's exactly their heart too. It's not about them. This is not about me. I hope you hear the message of the text, right? So God has empowered them and put them there. And Peter says, but it known to you all, let it be known to you all, 71 Sanhedrin, by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man stands here before you today. Peter answers the, by what name? Have an answer for that. Have an answer for someone who asked you, is there a God? Or even this, what happened to you? You don't curse like you used to. You don't talk like you used to. Well, you know I was one of those, right? Cursing up a storm. There's something about you. You know, you never get mad. Don't you hate those people? What happened? They have the peace of Christ in them. Knowing that, listen, all things will work out for the good of those who are in Christ. Those are called according to your purpose. So you may be in a situation right now, you have no control over it, doesn't look good, you don't like it. Well, that's what happened to this man for 40 years. Out of his control, doesn't like it, but God had a plan for his life, and God used it. And he doesn't do that to everyone, right? We all have different callings. God has different ways to use us. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus is his name, meaning Jehovah saves, right? His human physical name, Jehovah. Christ, that's not his last name. He's not Jesus Christ, Mr. Christ. Christ is his title, the anointed one, the Messiah. All hopes rest upon him. And the Jesus of Nazareth. So this was a common name, right? There were many Jesuses, but the one that they crucified, that Jesus, the one of Nazareth, the one who will die, who died for our sins on the cross, who you crucified. Now, we talked last week that Peter excuses them for being there for the sins that they did to crucify Christ. We say, well, how does that happen? Well, they did it in ignorance. He says this, you did it in ignorance. They were excused from that. How could that be, Pastor? Well, Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant. But now he proclaims them the truth of the good news of the gospel. Now they have to respond to it. They're now on the hook for the fishermen. Right? He's now giving them the bait. This is the truth. You have to respond to this. They were forgiven for the crucifixion of the Messiah because they did it in ignorance. But now they know. They've been told in the temple. Now Jesus must have said it to them before, but this is how it's planned out. They have to respond to that. And who is God using to this to happen? These uneducated men. Least likely to be chosen, right? I remember going in, I went to St. Coleman's for parochial school there at St. Coleman's, and I remember being on the basketball team. I think they felt sorry for me. They let me on the team each time, right? And you'd play, you go to physical ed, PE, and, you know, they'd pick the best guy. You're the captain, and you're the second best guy. You're the captain of that team. And they would pick all the people that they want on their team, right? Well, I was about this tall playing basketball, and I was the last one that they would pick most of the time, the last one. Isn't that a terrible feeling? You're like, oh, man, nobody wants me, right? But isn't it great that God wants you? He was thinking of you when he went on the cross. That's how much he wants to be with you forever. Forever. This isn't it. Just church, right? This isn't it. This is a preview of where we will be with him forever. The Holy Spirit coming in, giving us peace, letting us know that our sins are forgiven. And there is no other way to God. There is none. Now, unity is what a lot of the churches are trying to pull together. Some years back, the Pope, the previous Pope Ratzinger, what his name was, and the current Pope is reaching out to the Muslims and saying, hey, we have the same Heavenly Father, let's just come together, let's just love, right? Let's just love on everybody. Paul wouldn't say that. Jesus would never say that. The Muslim God Allah claims not to have a son. So Scripture says, without the Son, you do not have the Father. It is not the same God. And so Paul talks about doctrine. What does the text say? So how do we know if someone is lying to us? We go to the book. How do we know if someone's drawing us into this unity, because that's what Satan's going to do, right? One world order, one world church. That's what's happening today. This world is preparing for its king. Who is that? Satan. They're preparing. They're manipulating. And things are not falling apart. They are falling in place exactly how God has planned it. We see these things happening today in Ukraine. It's a smokescreen of what's happening between Russia and Iran. They're selling them all of these arms, and meanwhile, everybody's looking at Iran. Ukraine, which they probably will invade, pray for those people. There's churches there. There's believers. There's women and children that will be murdered if they do attack. Russia will be one of the nations that will attack Israel. And the interesting part about that is, I don't believe, and I could be absolutely wrong, that anyone would come back like Japan and attack us. They won't have to. We will be impotent. We will not respond. We will have no power. Because the Bible says that when they come against Israel in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I pray you read that and watch the signs of the times. Remember, in the book of Matthew, he tells the disciples, you know, you're able to look at the signs in the sky. Red sky night, sailor's delight. Red sky morning, sailor's warning. But you miss the signs of the times. They should have known the Messiah was coming. Why? He was prophesied in Daniel 483 years before he would be there. And Jesus is now there. And they've missed it. They've missed the signs of the times. Well, we've seen these things happen right before our eyes. When is it going to be happening where the church is raptured? I don't know. But we know it's going to happen. He's told us that. That's the truth. Well, churches are falling away from that too. They're looking at the preterist view, the amillennial. Well, when the temple in 70 AD was destroyed, because that was what Augustine thought, everything was over with. This is it. Until 1948, when Israel now becomes a nation in fulfillment of Ezekiel. How do we know this? We know the truth. This is what the scripture teaches us. And so, three key verses to know. There is no other name. John 14:6. No one comes to the Father but by me. I used to watch King. What was his name? The radio guy. Larry King. He'd always have John MacArthur on, and a Muslim, and a rabbi, and a priest. And John MacArthur was just brilliant. He would just steadfastly say these words. There is no other name. And Father Manning, I think his name was, we'd say, well, I believe that Jesus is so far beyond that. That he would not send a sincere religious person to hell. And he's saying this. And there are many people who will follow him. But that is in absolute opposition to the scriptures. And so we need to be men and women of God, Christians, Christ-like, knowing the word, applying the word, and listen, living it. There's a lot of people saying a lot of things, but their life doesn't reflect that. What does a Christian's life look like? And listen, we're all under construction. Big scaffolding around us, big sign, under construction. Joy, peace, love, patience, all the fruits of the Spirit should be reflecting in the Christian's life. So, John 16, no other name. 1 Timothy 2:5, one mediator between God and man. You do not have to go through a priest for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't have to pray to anyone, to Mary, to saints, to anyone. You don't have to come to me. I can't forgive you of your sins. Jesus is the one who forgives you of your sins. And there is, listen, no mediator between God and man but Jesus Christ. Who mediated on behalf of the people of the nation of Israel with God? The high priest, right? The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and would sprinkle the sacrificial lamb on the mercy seat. Jesus is now the high priest. He is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament laws and the temple. He is the living bread, the living water. He is the sacrifice, the blood of the lamb, the light unto the world, the bread of life. This is the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who we worship. He is the only one. He is the only mediator. He is the only one we can go to. There are times, you know, coming from the Catholic background, people would ask the priest to bless something, bless this or bless this. He has no power to do anything. I have no supernatural power to impart on you. Neither did Peter and John. They proclaimed in the name of Jesus for him to walk, and God healed him. God is the one who does the work. God is the one who does the blessing. Now, you can pray upon someone, intercessory, right? We can pray together, come together and ask the Lord. Acts 4:13, nor is there salvation in any other name. Listen. We know you Christians say that, but how do we know it's true? Only the true and living God knows the future before it happens, and he writes it down. And it's called prophecy. It's the Old Testament spoken about of the Messiah to come. And as you study the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are proclaiming the truth. And in every other verse, in fulfillment of the Scriptures, only the true and living God knows the future, writes it down, and listen, fulfills it through his Son who was promised to come. We can debate this. It's true. We have facts. These are the words of life. In fact, they marveled. Let's pick it up, verse 13 through 17. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, remember the boldness, empowered by the Spirit, speaking in front of these men with authority. Listen, we have authority to preach the word. We have authority to speak the truth of God if we are Christians. He tells us to go and make disciples. Teach them what I've taught you. Proclaim everything that I told you. They saw the boldness and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. How did they perceive that? Maybe they had an accent. Maybe they didn't pronounce words correctly. Something about them gave them that perception. But they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Stop right there. What could they display that could show these men of, supposedly men of God, high educated, wealthy, positions of authority, how could they perceive and be marveled that these men had been with Jesus? And I would present to you the peace of Christ that transcends all understanding, guided their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. They are standing bold, not intimidated, proclaiming, and the peace in their heart. The peace in their heart. You know, when I went to Vietnam with Luis Palau and gone to many places all over the world, when you go to other countries, you don't speak their language. But when you meet a Christian, you don't have to speak the language. There's a peace in the spirit to know that you're believers. So we get off the airport and get off the airplane, and what do you know? My baggage is delayed for some reason on the cart, right? Everybody's waiting for me, and my baggage is delayed, and I'm so embarrassed, but there's nothing I can do. And finally, my bag comes, and we step out of the wherever it was, Vietnam airport, and there's literally 5,000 people with roses. You can go on YouTube, look up Luis Palau in Vietnam. You'll see me behind him. Thousands of people with roses just enjoy that a man of God has come to bring the gospel of Christ. They weren't lifting him up, but they were rejoicing that a man of God had come. And so we get on the bus, and we have Vietnam police with us, not for our safety, but because they're a communist country. They wanted to know what we were doing. We never went anywhere without them watching us. But there was one guy, he was staring at me. He wasn't the policeman, but he was part of the group that got on the bus with us. And I'm a little nervous. What is this guy looking at me for? I don't know who he is, but he's on the bus with us, and you know, I've got my eye on him. So then I asked one of the interpreters with us to say, this guy's staring at me. And he goes, well, that's the culture. They look at you. They wait for you to respond, and then they'll respond. So I look over, and I smiled at him, and all of a sudden, he smiled. And it was, you could just feel, he's a believer. This is a piece of Christ, right? And it was really amazing to see. He just lit up with his smile because there we come together with the truth. Listen, I hope people look at you and say, man, you're a believer. You've been with the Lord. Something happened. You had that encounter with the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Something happened to you. Why? Because in the midst of chaos, you're competent and you have the peace of Christ and you have the Word of God that keeps you steady and that you are not ashamed of the gospel, but you will proclaim to the lost, those who need Jesus, the good news of the gospel. It's not good news until you know the bad news. The bad news is the wages of your sin is death. The good news, Jesus Christ proclaimed it. We have four affidavits in the scriptures. Four affidavits written to testify of what happened, and they're called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote those testimonies and put their names on it. They are eyewitnesses. If you brought the text, and there's a book by Pamela Ewing, if you took the four Gospels and presented them into a United States jurisprudence in our day, and went through an evidentiary hearing, whether or not you could utilize the evidence that you have in the four Gospels to proclaim that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. Just those three things. With the evidence that we have in the Scriptures, it would be absolute overwhelming evidence to be submitted as truth. Because when you look at how, you know, ancient documents are cared for, the hands that they went through, all of the testimonies, there's multiple things to look at. It's true. You know, as one of the things as a policeman, I would go to a scene, and I'm not worried about the evidence that I don't have. I look at the evidence that I do have. And the same thing with the scriptures. And the more we study, the more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, the more it begins to open up and we understand the truth. Wow, I never knew that. I didn't see that. Jesus is stripped naked on the cross. Why would they do such a thing? Why would he be naked in front of all these people? What is the significance of that? It's a picture of shame. And Jesus took our shame upon himself, naked on the cross, and then he clothed us in righteousness. Wow. Praise the Lord. And I hope you're as excited about the things of God as I am, because it's infectious. People want to know. You have something. Then there are people that don't want to know. But that's okay. Don't worry about those. Because this is who they're standing in front of. They don't want to know the truth. They're not interested in it. Matter of fact, when you read with me, or I read to you 1 Thessalonians, God would give them a strong delusion because they have failed. He will, as Paul writes in Romans, turn them over to a depraved mind. I mean, they've heard the message. They've heard the truth over and over again, and they've rejected it over and over again. Don't you know God will give you what you want? You want salvation? Ask, it's for you. If you don't want it, you don't have it. And he says that he'll turn them over to a depraved mind in Romans, but he reassures that in 2 Thessalonians. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. There are people church hopping. What makes me feel the best? Oh, I've heard that song before. You know, it's so cold in that church. I don't like the backdrop. The pastor speaks too much. I'll close with this. I thought we'd get farther than this, but I want you to understand that we have the truth of life. The author of this book lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives. He lives in you. I went to Haiti with Andrew Perlow, and it was shortly a couple years after the earthquake. And everything was 2 hours this way, 2 hours that way. And the reason why it took you 2 hours, the roads were, I mean, if you had an asphalt company, you'd get rich if they could pay you. There was holes everywhere. It took forever to get there. We get up into this mountain, Jacmel it was called. And the church had been leveled to the ground. And then they didn't have the money, and they were afraid to go inside a building. And so they had these 2x4s with these aluminum platforms to cover. There was 1,000 people. The platform only covered so many people, but everybody else was just sitting on the floor. There wasn't even chairs. And it had rained, and the rain was coming, the water was coming down the mountain. And I'm just observing. I'm there to do security, making sure the speaker's okay. But I'm watching, and I'm praying, certainly for the salvation of the people and that the Lord would do his work. And I'm watching this man. He's kneeling on rocks and mud, lifting up his hands, worshiping God. He wasn't asking for anything. He was proclaiming praise to the King. And I was crushed in my heart. Actually, I'm not an emotional person, but I was a little teared up. Because we have to coax people to come to church. We have to have events. We have cushioned seats. Climate-controlled air. We have free coffee. What churches are giving free coffee away? We have to coax people to come into church. And this man had nothing. And he's worshiping God. My prayer is that God would show us in our spirits that we have absolutely nothing apart from him. And when we realize that, we are so thankful. And then we're so empowered to do what he's asked us to do. We're filled with the Spirit to witness. Because we have nothing, there's nothing else to gain apart from Christ. That's how much he loves you. And so if you don't know that you know you have eternal life, the Bible says that these things, the text, these things have been written so that you would know. Now remember, we've gone through powerful doctrine. There is no other name but Jesus Christ.